Blog Talk Radio.
Say good afternoon to one and all, and thank you so much for joining us today on another segment of Friday Evening Bible Studies. We are still in the transition process right now, but God is indeed good, and we are just thankful for another beautiful Friday. It's the end of another week, the beginning of a brand new Sabbath day. And so we just want to praise the Lord and give him thanks for that. I want to thank those who are on the line already with us. I see Jackie. I think, Jackie, you are there with us. And I just want to thank God for you being so faithful and being on time and joining us today. So I just want to praise God for that. And we wait for the others to come in. Today I've entitled the study for this afternoon, Belong. And inclusion, and that is really on my mind because tomorrow, God's willing, we'll be going down to Albany, Georgia. We'll be going to Sister Sheila's church, Jackie, if you remember Sister Sheila Greer from camp. Yeah, we'll be going to her church tomorrow. So that is on my mind, talking about disability and just the old fact, you know, trying to explore the difference between what it means to be included and what it means to be what it means to be to belong. Is there a difference between the two, between being included and belonging to something? So we're just going to talk about that a little, but I just want to welcome you again and welcome all our speaker, Pastor Carlson is not on the line as yet, so we just have a little bit of time. So, how are you doing, Jackie?
I'm on the line. I'm on the line.
Oh, Arthur Carlson. Oh, you are? Pastor Carlson,
yeah.
You there?
Okay. Yeah, I'm here.
Great. Okay, great. I'm glad to. So, you're ready to go?
Yes.
All right. Praise the Lord. So since you are there and you're on the line, what do you have in store for us today?
I'm going to be talking about the second coming of Christ, and my title is He's on His Way.
Okay, the second coming of Christ, He's on His Way. Praise the Lord. And I'm so glad to hear that, because like I said, tomorrow I'll be going down to Albany Church in Albany, Georgia, and I've been invited there to speak and to share the word about disability and a whole. So I'm not going to only be talking about Christian Records and the Blind, but I'll be talking about disability on a whole. And we know that that segment of society, sometimes we overlook them, the disabled, and they too will be needing to hear about the good news of Christ's soon return. So it's a wonderful thing to be able to, you know, share that, and that would be part of the message that we'll be talking about as well. You know, we always try to include the three angels' messages, which would definitely include the second coming of Christ. So we're looking forward to have a great time there tomorrow. But I just want to welcome Jackie. Jackie, are you there? I think you're online. Right.
Good afternoon. I'm here.
Okay, you are. All right, praise the Lord. Yeah, I thought you were there, and I was just wondering if I was mixing you up. I really need to memorize your number so that I can know exactly.
No, this is a new number, I guess.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah, I'm
you
on my
see,
home.
You threw me
home
off there, Jackie.
I'm on my home today.
Okay, yeah. Because I'm saying I know you should be there, but I wasn't recognizing that number correctly. I was saying, am I making a mistake? Anyhow, good to have you there. So how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Praise God. We've been having some good shower of blessings over here. You know, we're thankful because this will help the plants to grow pretty after pruning. You know, just like our life, sometimes we need some pruning, you know, in our Christian life.
I was saying earlier, I don't know if you heard me, that I'm going out to Sister Sheila's church tomorrow.
I heard that.
Yeah, so I'll be there.
Keep
us in prayer. Huh?
Give her our regards, please.
I will. To have her be a part of this study also. So I'll talk to her about that tomorrow when I'm down there. But nevertheless, I just wanted to do a reading before we play our opening song. I wanted to read something from the book of Luke. Luke chapter 14. Pastor, so I'm just going to read this quickly, and then we'll get our opening song, and then we'll do the prayer. Jackie, you'll pray for us. And then, Pastor Carlson, you will give us the message. All right, I'm just reading Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. It says, one Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat, and I'm reading from the NIV, it says, and Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee. He was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they remained silent. So, taking hold of the man, he healed him, he healed him and sent him away. Verse 5, it says, then he asked them, if one of you had a son or an ox that fell into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out? And they had nothing to say. And this thought was on my mind, and I'm going to be doing something about with this in the afternoon, not in the morning, but in the afternoon session while I'm down there at Albany, Georgia tomorrow. But the question that Jesus asked, you know, which one of you, if you have a son or an ox and he fell in a hole on the Sabbath day, would you not immediately pull him out? Would you leave him there until the Sabbath is over? Basically, that's what Jesus was asking. And they said nothing, because what Jesus was trying to show them is that they had a problem with him doing something like healing someone who was sick on the Sabbath day. They thought that was breaking the Sabbath. And so they were all, you know, watching to see whether he would do something for the man or not. And Jesus turned around and he did it. He did heal the man and sent him away. And so the man recovered. And the question I was asking today, is there a difference between belonging and inclusion? Is there a difference between belonging and inclusion? And that's what I wanted to keep. Because while the man was in the room, he was right there and Jesus was teaching and the Pharisees were there. he was included. You know, it's not like he was separate from them. He was right there. But as far as they were concerned, he really didn't belong. So I'm just wanting us to get the sense of that and the feeling of that. You can be somewhere, you can be included in something, but then you are not, or you would not belong. Or because you're included, let me put it this way, because you're included, it doesn't mean that you belong there or you feel like you are welcome. Because as a matter of fact, the Jews at that time, they had a serious problem, and especially the leaders, with people who had any kind of a sickness or a disability. They thought that these people had this particular disability because of their sin. And so they kind of separated themselves from those people because they're saying those people were sinners, basically, why they were disabled or why they had these problems. You see? And Jesus was trying to teach something different, because the message of the gospel, and this is where I'll be going with this tomorrow, is not just for people who are perfect and people who are, you know, whole, so to speak, because Jesus said those who are whole do not need a physician, but it is those who are sick, and that is why he came. So sometimes we kind of, you know, we may include people who are disabled in our medicine and in our ministries, but we do not try to make them feel like if they belong there sometimes, because the way we act and the things that we do, like the Pharisees, you know, might just try to say, yes, you're here with us, you're included, but you're not belong. So what made the difference, or what makes someone feel like they belong? We see that Jesus did two things that the Pharisees might not have done. The first thing he did, he took hold of the man, the Bible says. He taking hold of him, right, my wife said he touched him. He touched him. They never used to touch people like that. But Jesus touched him, and then he also healed him. He didn't just leave him the way he came, but he made him whole. And then he sent him away. So he showed the man love, so to speak, because when you reach out and you touch someone, you're saying to that person, hey, you and I, you know, we are close. We are tight. Jesus didn't just speak a word and heal the man, even though he could have done that. The Bible says he took hold of the man. He embraced the man. He let the man feel the love, so to speak. You understand? He just didn't say it, but he helped the man to feel that he was a part of and he belonged there. And then he didn't only leave it there, but it says he made him well. He healed him, and then he sent him on his way. You know, we need to do more of that, and hopefully through this ministry, that is what we want to do, some of the things that we want to do for people who are disabled, and that's where we're going to be, you know, trying to extend this ministry to not just the people who are blind, which was our initial goal, and we still work with the blind and all of that, but we want to work with all kind of disability now. We want to just open up, and that's where I think the Lord is leading me. You know, there are people who have, you know, different things, people who have, you know, problem walking, or people who might have problem with epilepsy and all these different disabilities that plague us today. And we want to reach out to all these people. I don't know how we're going to do it, but I know the Lord has helped us to find people who are blind and to be able to minister to people who are blind. And so I'm sure that he can open up the ministry to the others as well. And that is where we're going with this. And we want to reach out and touch them like Jesus touched these people through this ministry. We want to embrace them. And we want to give them words of comfort, words of cheer, words of healing that would make them whole. Even if it's not physically whole, but at least spiritually whole. So that by the grace of God, they too, like us, can be prepared to meet Jesus when he comes. And we know that he's coming soon. We just don't know when. There's a song that says it may be at midnight, you know, or, you know, it may be at dawn or in the morning, something like that it goes. But we don't know when he's coming, but we know that he's coming. And we need to get ready, and we need to get others ready as well. We just cannot go by ourselves. So as we listen to this song, I just want you to remember that we have the blessed assurance, and I think this is going to hear us for the message by Pastor Carlson today. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And Jesus is not only for us who are whole, but he belongs to everybody also. The people who are disabled, the people who are disenfranchised, the people who are weak, the people who are strong. He is for everybody. And so, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. After this, Jackie, you will pray, and then Pastor will begin. Okay,
blessed,
let us listen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, Lord. We just want to thank you for this wonderful privilege that we can gather together here to share your words, to encourage each other, Lord, to uplift each other, Lord. But Lord, we pray and ask that whatever is done here will be to glorify your name, because you alone deserve our worship. You alone deserve our praise, Lord. Lord, we just exalt you in the beauty of your holiness, Lord. We magnify
Amen.
Your name. And we thank you, Lord, that you give us this freedom that in many places they don't have, to come before you, to gather together, Lord, to study your word. Lord, I just ask you to bless the one that will be bringing the message today, and bless
Amen.
Each and every person that is online right now, and also the people that will be listening on a later date, Lord. Lord, we just ask you to have your own way, Lord. In the blessed name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And just a second. I wanted also to share something with you all right quick.
Okay.
Remember, you said Jesus invited this man. He hugged him. He embraced him. We could go back to the Old Testament in 2 Samuel chapter 9, where King David invited Mephibosheth to his table. Remember, this was the son of...
Jonathan.
And the grandson of King Saul, you know, and he was lame in the feet. And in those days, lame people with disability was cast out, you know.
Yes.
So I just wanted to share that right quick. And on Tuesday, I was invited to read with Brittany at the elementary school. And I give God the glory, because a lot of time people who have disability are left out, you know.
Yes.
And sometimes we need to make the first step. We too need to do our part, you know, and do what we can do for ourselves. Just don't say, oh, I'm left out because they don't consider me. You see, I'm important because God made me important, and I too have to do my part. I can't disable myself by limiting myself. I'm disabled, but that does not mean that I should limit myself, because in Christ Jesus, I can do all things who strengthen me. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's why we want to open up the ministry, not only to people who are blind, but like you said, to people like Mephibosheth and, you know, and others who have that kind of a disability as well. So, yeah, so just keep us in prayer for that, Jackie. And I'm glad that you were able to go and read read out there. What did you do? You took a Braille Bible with you or something? How did you read?
No, Brittany, how we did it this way. Brittany wanted to do something different. She always trying to do something different. She's the top reader of the school, the accelerated reading. And,
okay.
She was reading a book from Dr. Seuss, so I did the translation in Spanish, like the simultaneous translation. So that was cool for them, and they love it, you know. So I'm very thankful that, you know, they gave me that respect and called me to do something like that, you know. So I'm very thankful for that and give God the glory.
Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I'm so excited about that. But anyhow, we have an exciting message, and I just want to welcome again Pastor Carlson.
Yes.
Pastor Carlson, good to have you again with us. You blessed us last week, and I know you're going to do no less today. We're going to be truly blessed today. So at this time, we're turning it all over to you, sir.
Thank you. Listen, I really appreciated that prayer and also the song and the attitude. We have an excellent spirit here, and I appreciate being able to share with you a little message that I have entitled, He's on His Way. You know, how soon will Jesus be here? Our fathers, at the very beginning of our Christian church, centuries ago, believed that Jesus was going to come in their day, but He didn't come. How soon do you suppose it's going to be? We don't know when. But if we are ready today, and we're ready tomorrow, and we're ready every day, it won't make much difference when He does come, or even when we might die, for we are safe. Do you believe this? God's people, through all the ages, however, have expected Jesus to come much sooner, even in their day. I have felt this many times, and I'm sure you have felt that way as well. 3 years ago, my father passed away. He was nearly 107 years old, and he thought Jesus was keeping him alive to be able to see Him come in person without seeing death. But my father finally passed away. Now, we have watched the signs and the seasons and have believed it can't be much longer, can it? Hardly a day goes by that we are not confronted with some signs of Christ's coming. The terrorists rule. Nature is on the rampage. The whole world feels unrest and uncertainty. Everyone feels it. And as we Christians believe even stronger than ever that the Lord is on His way, you believe that, don't you?
Amen.
In Matthew 24, verse 8, it says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, it says, but knowing this, that in the last days perilous times will come. I want you to go on a little trip with me. We're going to climb the stairs to the upper room where Jesus celebrated the Passover with His disciples. There we will find the disciples, and there we will find them eating the bread, the wine. There we will find Jesus taking the basin with water and actually washing the disciples' feet. And after this was all over with, and by the way, Judas was now gone, so because he had left the upper room, And Jesus brought the 11 disciples together around him. And remember what John 14, 1 to 3, this is what he was telling them. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now let me share with you some ideas on how we can prepare our lives, our characters, for a life in eternity. Remember, he's on his way. I'm going to turn to Matthew, the 25th chapter. I'm going to start reading the 31st verse on to the 40th verse. And this is what it says. Now, I want you to picture yourself in what Jesus is talking about right here. When the Son of Man comes, this is Jesus speaking. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from his goats. He will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now notice some of the things that he shared with his disciples and actually with you and me as well. Jesus said, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Now this is the way Jesus wants us to be. He wants us to help one another. He's saying, when you're doing this, you're doing it to me. One day, a poor boy who was selling goods from door to door to pay his way through school found he had only one thin dime left, and he was hungry. He decided he would ask for a meal at the next house. Instead of a meal, he asked for a drink of water when the lady opened the door. She thought he looked hungry, so brought him a large glass of milk. He drank it slowly and then asked, how much do I owe you? Oh, you don't owe me anything, she replied. Then I thank you from my heart. As Howard Kelly left that house, he not only felt stronger physically, but his faith in God and man was strong also. He had been ready to give up and quit. Years later, that young woman became critically ill. The local doctors were baffled. They finally sent her to the big city, where they called in specialists to study her rare disease. Dr. Howard Kelly was called in for the consultation. When he heard the name of the town that you came from, a strange light filled his eyes. Immediately he arose, went down the hall of the hospital to her room. Dressed in his doctor's gown, he went in to see her. He recognized her at once. He went back to the consultation room, determined to do his best to save her life. From that day, he gave special attention to the case. After a long struggle, the battle was won. Dr. Kelly requested the business office to pass the final bill to him for approval. He looked at it, then wrote something on the edge, and the bill was sent to her room. She feared to open it, for she was sure it would take the rest of her life to pay for it all. Finally, she looked, and something caught her attention on the side of the bill. She read these words, "Paid in full with one glass of milk." Signed,
wow.
Dr. Howard Kelly. "Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in." Some 14 years ago, a teacher stood watching his university students file into the classroom for the opening session in the Theology of Faith course. That was the day the professor first saw Tommy. Tommy was combing his hair, which hung 6 inches below his shoulders. The teacher's quick judgment wrote him off as something strange, very strange. Tommy turned out to be his biggest challenge. Tommy constantly objected to or smirked at the possibility of an unconditionally loving God. When he turned in his final exam at the end of the course, he asked in a slightly cynical tone, "Do you think I'll ever find God?" "No," the teacher said emphatically. "Oh," he responded, "I thought that was the product you were pushing." The teacher let him get 5 steps from the door and then called out, "I don't think you'll find him, but I'm certain he will find you." Tommy shrugged. The teacher felt slightly disappointed that the boy had missed his clever line. Later, he heard that Tommy had graduated, and then came a sad report. Tommy had terminal cancer. Before the teacher could search him out, Tommy came to him. And when he walked into his office, his body was badly wasted, and his long hair had fallen out because of chemotherapy. But his eyes were bright, and his voice, for the first time, was firm. "Tommy, I thought of you so often. I heard you were very sick," the teacher blurted out. "Oh, yes, very sick. I have cancer. It's a matter of weeks." Then he told him why he had come. "I came because of something you said to me on the last day of class. I asked if you thought I would ever find God, and you said no, which surprised me. Then you said, but he will find you. I thought about that a lot, even though my search for God was hardly intense at that time. But when the doctors removed a lump from my groin and told me that it was malignant, I got serious about locating God. And when the malignancy spread into my vital organs, I really began banging against the bronze doors of heaven. But nothing happened. Well, one day I woke up And instead of my desperate attempts to get some kind of message, I just quit. I decided I didn't really care about God, an afterlife, or anything like that. I decided to spend what time I had left doing something more important. I thought about you and something else you had said. The essential sadness is to go through life without loving. But it would be almost equally sad to leave this world without ever telling those you loved that you love them. So I began with the hardest one, my dad. Tommy's father had been reading the newspaper when his son approached him. "Dad, I'd like to talk with you. It's really important." The newspaper came down 3 slow inches. "What is it?" "Dad, I love you. I just wanted you to know that." Tommy smiled at his former teacher as he recounted the moment. The newspaper fluttered to the floor. Then my father did 2 things I can't remember him ever doing before. He cried and he hugged me. We talked all night, even though he had to go to work the next morning. "It was easier with my mother and little brother," Tommy continued. "They cried with me. We hugged one another, and I shared the things we had been keeping secret for so long. Here I was in the shadow of death, and I was just beginning to open up to all the people I had actually been close to. Then one day I turned around, and God was there. He didn't come to me when I pleaded with him. Apparently he does things in his own way and at his own hour. The important thing is that you were right. He found me even after I stopped looking for him." "Tommy," his teacher asked, "would you come to my theology of faith course and tell my students what you told me?" Though they scheduled a date, Tommy never made it. Before he died, they talked one last time. "I'm not going to make it," he said. "I know, Tommy," his teacher replied. "Will you tell them for me? Will you tell the whole world for me?" "I will, Tommy. I'll tell them." Remember what Jesus said in John 13:34. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." A cab driver tells this story. 20 years ago, I drove a cab for a living. What I didn't realize was that it was also a ministry. Because I drove the night shift, my cab became a moving confessional. I encountered people whose lives amazed me, ennobled me, made me laugh and weep. But none touched me more than the woman I picked up late one August night. When I arrived at 2:30 in the morning, the building was dark except for a single light in a ground floor window. Under such circumstances, my drivers would just honk once or twice, wait a minute, then drive away. But I had seen too many impoverished people who depend on taxis as their only means of transportation. Unless a situation smelled of danger, I always went to the door. "This passenger might be someone who needs my assistance," I reasoned to myself. So I walked to the door and knocked. "Just a minute," answered a frail, elderly voice. I could hear something being dragged across the floor. After a long pause, the door opened. A small woman in her 80s stood before me. She was wearing a print dress and a pillbox hat with a veil pinned on it, like somebody out of a 1940s movie. By her side was a small nylon suitcase. The apartment looked as if no one had lived in it for years. All the furniture was covered with sheets. There were no clocks on the walls, no knickknacks or utensils on the counters. On the counter was a cardboard box filled with photos and glassware. "Would you mind carrying my bag out to the car?" he asked. I took the suitcase to the cab, then returned to assist the woman. She took my arm and we walked slowly toward the curb. She kept thanking me for my kindness. "It's nothing," I told her. "I just try to treat my passengers the way I'd want my mother treated." "Oh, you're such a good boy," she said. When we got to the cab, she gave me an address, then asked, "Can you drive through town?" "It's not the shortest way," I answered. "Oh, I don't mind," she said. "I'm in no hurry. I'm on my way to a hospice." I looked in the rear view mirror. Her eyes were glistening. "I don't have any family left," she continued. "The doctor says I don't have long." I quietly reached over and shut off the meter. "What route would you like me to take?" I asked. For the next 2 hours, we drove through the city. She showed me the building where she had once worked as an elevator operator. We drove to the neighborhood where she and her husband lived when they were newlyweds. She had me pull up in front of a furniture warehouse that had once been a ballroom where she had gone dancing as a girl. Sometimes she would ask me to go slow in front of a particular building or corner and would sit staring, saying nothing. As the first hint of sun was cresting the horizon, she suddenly said, "I'm tired. Let's go now." We drove in silence to the address she had given me. It was a low building, like a small convalescent home, with a driveway that passed under a portico. Two orderlies came out to the cab as soon as we pulled up. She was solicitous and intent, watching her every move. They must have been expecting her. I opened the trunk and took the small suitcase to the door. The woman was already seated in a wheelchair. "How much do I owe you?" she asked, reaching into her purse. "Nothing," I said. "You have to make a living," she answered. "There are other passengers," she responded. Almost without thinking, again, and gave her a hug. She held on to me tightly. "You gave an old woman a little moment of joy," she said. "Thank you." I squeezed her hand, then walked into the dim morning light. Behind me, a door shut. It was the sound of the closing of a light. You know, we're conditioned to think that our lives revolve around great moments. However, great moments often catch us unaware, beautifully wrapped in what others consider a small one. Assuredly, I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, he did it to me. And I'm going to quote that same quote from the Message Bible, which says, "Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me." you did it to me. You know, we're still in the upper room where the disciples had listened to Jesus tell them of his great desire to have his people with him. Remember how he opened his thoughts to them and how he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also." Remember, Jesus is on his way. The events of our world tells us so. He also must be on his way in our hearts, in our actions, in our lives as well. I think of each one of us as we think of these verses. Jesus is by our side. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Put my yoke upon you and learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we viewed the scripture this evening, how you told the sheep on your right hand how that they can be assured of eternal life, that they commit their lives, of course, entirely to Jesus and him live in their lives. But at the same time, as we go about our daily tasks, we are told, and we are to share our beliefs with others and do good deeds for others. May this be our idea of living. May this, O Lord, be our firm desire to follow you every step of the way. Thank you for blessing all who are listening and blessing us that we might have a good evening and a good life waiting for you to come, because you're on your way. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow. That is some story. I thoroughly enjoyed some message, I should say. I thoroughly enjoyed it and the stories that were told. Two quick questions, Pastor Carlson. That first story, what was it about again?
It was about that glass of milk, remember?
Yeah, okay. The boy that was selling, right? What was his name?
Yeah. Dr. Howard, let's see here. I'll find it. Dr. Howard Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Howard.
Yeah. Yeah. I open up the lines. I don't know if anyone has anything to say, but I just have to let this sink for a little bit. I don't have much I can say right now, other than to say to God be the glory for that message. It is so, I think, timely and so appropriate at this time to know that he's on his way with all that's happening in the world today. And it is the little things that we do, you know, the things that we might sometimes take for granted, that more than anything else might prepare us to be with him, not only for time, but for eternity. That's that's all I would say about this, Pastor, because I don't want to, you know, take away from anything that was said. And I'll just give some others the opportunity to say something. If not, then we'll just pray and close. Pray, play a closing song and then close after that. So the lines are open. Anyone who would like to say something, now is the time to do so. Okay, I guess.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
I just wanted to say that sometimes we take the little things that we do for granted. But it may be little to us and to some, but to the person that we're doing it for, it's very great, it's very big, it's very important. And we shouldn't take these, you know, even a smile for granted. Smiling at someone, saying hello to someone, because we don't know what that person is going through or how they're feeling, you know. By just being kind, we can do a whole lot for someone. So
that's
we should
right.
never take doing, you know, being kind and doing for others, because it makes a difference. And like the text said, Jesus would ask, you know, what have you done when you see me, when you saw me hungry, or when you saw me in prison, or when you saw me naked, and all these things. When we do it for the least, we're doing it for him. So we shouldn't take it for granted.
Yeah. Have you ever walked down the street? Have you ever walked down the street and just not saying any word, but just smiled and watched the response of the people that you meet? Inevitably, they will smile back.
Yeah.
And their steps will be a little bit lighter as they go on.
Yep, that is so true. That is so true. It makes a difference to people, and it will make a difference to us as well. All right, we have a little more time, so is there anyone else who would like to say before we close out? Pastor, I just think that so much was said, and it's so moving. I mean, I was clearly moved by this, that I really, you know, don't know what to say, and I don't have much, because I just want what was said to remain with us, and those three stories that you told. The only question I have, that last one with the cab driver, was that you in that story? I know you said it sounded like you were talking in the first person there. So
no, it wasn't me.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering about that. Yeah. So,
Yeah.
Hmm. That is so moving. So I just want to thank you for the message, and thank you for allowing the Holy Spirit to work in and through you in bringing that message to us. And I'm just going to encourage us as we close out today to keep holding on to Christ, knowing that he's the one who has brought us this far. And if we trust him, when he comes, he will take us home to be with him. And the little things, and that's the only thing I'm going to say, the little things that we do and the little things that we might take for granted, and we might even want to overlook because it's little, are the very things that Jesus said, you know, is important And I like that last verse that you read from the Message Bible, where it says, I'm just going to paraphrase, where Jesus was saying, whenever you do it, or whenever you did it unto them, you know, the least of them, it was me that you were doing it unto. So that is so, you know, significant right there, that Jesus would say, you know, that when you do these things to people, you help the blind. And we mentioned about expanding the ministry beyond the blind today and going for people with disability of all sorts. Whenever you help people, and that's what it's saying there in the Message, Jesus is saying that you're actually doing it unto me. That is how he takes it personally. And so it's just amazing how everything just worked together and how the Holy Spirit brought everything together, Pastor. How this message and, you know, the whole idea of us expanding the ministry and dealing with disability on a whole, you know, how everything just came together, even though we really didn't sit down and plan and talk about doing this. The Holy Spirit is an amazing, amazing, amazing person. And he just works with us in our different locale and just bring things together. And that's one of the confirmation that I think that we have and that should encourage us to know that God is with us as we continue to do this ministry and continue to serve him in this fashion. So at this time, I'm just going to play We Have Come This Far by Keith. And hopefully with this, we'll keep holding on to the end. Don't give up, knowing that he who has begun a good work in us is well able to complete it in the end. Let us listen to this song.
We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He's never failed us yet.
He never will.
No.
Come this far by faith.
bless everyone. May we continue to love and serve him. And Father, we just thank you for the message. Thank you for the messenger. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that is continuing to work with us and to guide and direct us. And when you come in glory, see us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right.
Amen.
God bless you. Have
God
a wonderful
bless
evening.
Everyone.
Yes.
You do the same.
Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. Yeah.